Welcome back, everybody. Off to the races. It is Saturday, the 8th of June. It is Belmont Stakes Day, and perhaps the greatest Belmont Stakes performance of all time, Secretariat's 31-length victory in 1973. And the man who was the pilot aboard Secretariat that day, Ron Turcotte, joins me at this time. Ron, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much, sir.
Well, we appreciate your making time. I know you got better things to do than chat with me, but I appreciate you taking a little bit of time. And I'm curious, as it comes to Belmont time each year, do you think back to Secretary? I mean, do these memories come back to you each year at this time?
Oh, yeah. When you heard about Secretariat, they were all good memories, especially the Belmont. The Preakness was a very thrilling race, but the Belmont just stood out the way spread the field. I mean, like, kind of blew the field away around the first half mile, and then it was just a long gallop the rest of the race.
Did you, when you were in the Belmont, Secretariat went up sort of right away along the inside to engage Sham for the lead, and you guys went really fast in the opening portion of the race. It was 46 and change for a half mile, 109 and four for three quarters. At any point during that, when you're dueling with Sham, are you thinking, gee, I don't know, we're going kind of fast here, I'm not sure we're going to be able to stay on, or were you completely confident?
No, I was very confident. I had worked him just as fast, maybe not quite as fast, but in the morning. That was, without no challengers when he was working alone. And he pulled up real good, wasn't even blowing. So I was I was very satisfied. I just decided to take the race to Sham after we went like 70 yards. I didn't intend to go to the lead right away, but when I saw that nobody else was going to go with him, with Sham, then I decided to take the race to him.
And you really did. I was talking with somebody the other day about this. My wife periodically watches the Belmont, that Belmont, and periodically watches the scenes from the movie that came out a few years ago, the Disney movie. To me, one of the things that is striking is how, and I'm not even sure this is right, how almost savage it was. It looks almost like Secretariat just kind of ripped Sham's heart out in the first three quarters of a mile of that race. Is that how it felt to you when you were aboard him?
Well, I don't think Secretariat was really him. So I think something happened to him in the race because he kind of turned a bit loose way too soon. Mm-hmm. He was running fine alongside of me, and I thought it'd be all right for a little ways. A little farther down, but he just dropped a bit going on the backside, so something happened to him.
Yeah, no, interesting. Now, Ron, one of the most interesting things I think about Secretariat's Triple Crown run is you won each race with a completely different running style. You closed from the rear to win the Derby. You kind of made a big middle move to the lead in the Preakness. And then in the Belmont, you, as we were just talking about, you went kind of straight to the lead and engaged for the lead right from the early jumps. Was this just kind of how these races played out? Did you have a strategy, and was that the strategy, or was it just circumstance?
No, the first race, the reason he came from way back there is that we had missed some time with him a little bit. You know, we didn't have him quite as tight as we wanted to for the Derby. So I just, took it easy the first part and just start picking my horse up after I made Charles the Wire the first time around. And the Preakness, everybody went real fast first quarter of a mile, and then they took a hold of their horse and backed up. And I said, oh, no, I'm not going to get in that trap there. There was a nice hole inside. No, I'm not going to dig that sucker hole. So I just swinging around and went past them around the first turn, and then took control of the race. Then came to Belmont. I was playing it by ear. I didn't have no orders. Lucian didn't give me no orders. He says, use your best judgment, and that's what I was doing. I knew the horse so well that I could do whatever I felt that the race was coming, run. I just played by ear.
Which of those races did you think was his best, or was his best a race that came after that?
Well, the Man of War was a great, great race. But the Preakness is kind of an outstanding race. The move we made around the first turn when I saw that, you know, they were going to, you know, back into me, and I just decided to make that move around the first turn, which is unheard of, you know. And unconventional, but I did what I had to do, and I just, like I said, you know, I used my best judgment. As the race was breaking out, that's the way I took advantage of it. I had the horse to do it, and I didn't take no chance.
Talking with Ron Turcotte, Triple Crown winning jockey aboard Secretariat. So I've always wondered, is it? You rode him, obviously. You rode a number of other good horses. What's it like to ride a horse like that and then just get on, you know, a horse that runs in the second race on a Thursday? Is it hard to kind of get up for those other races?
No. I rode many bad, well, slower horse, but Secretary was a once-in-a-lifetime horse, and so I don't think we'll never see another one like him. But no, you got to get back to riding your average horse and less horses. And I did that throughout that 1973, along with those races, and I was still leading rider in New York. You got to ride the horse according to him, how they feel under you, and there's no difference riding the great horse like Secretariat than the other one, for the exception that you have such a big engine in that one that he's just, when he was right, he was unbeatable. And we did run him, I didn't have much say in the running, but he had a lot to do with the conditioning. And when he was right, and wasn't sick like the William Memorial, an infection, a big big abscess under his upper lip when he ran in the Woodward, the Whitney, with 102 to 104 fever. While he pulled up after the race, he had 105 fever.
Oof.
And then he ran the Wood when he wasn't playing. It wasn't planned to run him in that race, and they decided to put him in there, and he wasn't ready to go on the half.
Mm.
When he was right, there's no horse could beat him.
Talking with Ron Turcotte here. Ron, you're in the Racing Hall of Fame. I think you're in the Canadian Racing Hall of Fame. You've been honored with many different awards and statues with Secretariat and whatnot. But I was just reading. It seems like one that maybe had kind of special meaning for you was a statue that was put up in your hometown of Grand Falls.
Well, they're all pretty good honor, great honor, you know, regardless where they're at. Having one in my hometown is really something else too, you know. It's something that when you come from background like I had, you know, I was working in lumber camps and that for 5 years, and then I reached the peak of my profession. It's everything was thrilling, you know. I mean, it was I guess it's what happened in the breaks you get in life.
One of the breaks that you got came in 1978. You suffered a catastrophic injury in riding a horse that left you in a wheelchair. You've been, I know, very active with trying to help disabled jockeys and promote rights for disabled people. And do you feel like, Ron, is the industry doing what it should do to help, you know, to support guys like you who put so much on the line and end up with these tough breaks?
I don't think the racetrack, the industry is putting enough money into it, you know, to secure us after we get hurt. It's a dangerous job. We love it. We go out there. We never think about getting hurt, but those things happen. And in my case, the rider in the inside just came out and pushed me across the horse's heel and just kind of shaved the leg right out of my, the front of the leg out of my my horse. Mm-hmm. And that's how I went down. And a lot of people are complaining about the Derby, a horse being taken down. Well, if they had left him up, that would have set a bad precedent. The steward's done the right thing to take that horse down because, you know, you could have had a terrible accident there. Maybe 12 horses go down if the first two, one of the first two went down at that point. But as far as the track helping us, no, they're not doing their part.
What would you like to see them do that would better support jockeys?
Heck, it wouldn't be that much. We're not asking all that much. If they gave us 10%, 1%, it would do it, you know, their take or the purchase.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Certainly there are a lot of guys out there who could use the help. There's no question about that. It is a difficult job. I want to just... sort of end on a little happy. Are you going to be watching the Belmont today?
Oh, definitely.
You have a you have a horse you think is the winner?
The horse Velasquez ride there. He's coming up to that race pretty good. It looks to me, you know, following his workouts and that. And the horse that won the Preakness. I don't know. He got eliminated in the Derby and came back and won the Preakness, which was a real big race, and he'll be tough.
So that's Intrepid Heart. You get it from a better source than me here. Intrepid Heart and War of Will are Ron Turcotte's two choices there in the.
Bill Moss horse is not to be discounted.
The Mott horse being Tacitus.
Yes.
Yeah, the 10 horse. So you liking the outside horses, the 8, 9, and 10 we got there.
Actually, it's tougher coming from the outside in the Belmont, the mile and a half track, because you break at the wire and that turn comes up to you pretty fast. So it's not like the other one where you have a long run and... from the gate to the first turn. So it's tougher on outside horses. The inside position is much better for the Belmont.
Yeah, that was a question I did want to ask you is, you know, we have seen over the years a number of riders, you know, I guess particularly probably riders who don't usually ride Belmont, but make these kind of premature moves to the lead and then get run down late. And I guess I wonder, did you feel like, you know, riding at Belmont, being a New York regular, was that an advantage to you?
Sure. It surely wasn't a disadvantage. But I don't think it was a premature move. I done the same thing the year before with Rio Ridge. I won the Belmont the previous year, and I rode the same race the same way.
Mm-hmm. I didn't mean that your moves were premature.
Pardon?
I didn't mean that the moves you made were premature. I mean, we have seen it in recent years where a guy will make a move to the lead and then, run out of horse and somebody else will come and get him.
The horse will falter after that. So you got to remember one thing. I was on that horse every run of his workout. So I knew exactly when he was right and when he would, what he could do. So that gave me a big advantage. I think it's a big advantage when the jockey do the workouts in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and knows his horse, knows how fit he is and what he needs. If he needs faster workout or whatnot. And I think, as long as my horse was eating good, feeling good, that was I could go out there and work him accordingly.
Mm-hmm. All right, we are going to let you go. Ron Turcotte, I want to say thank you so much for joining us this Saturday morning. I hope you have a great day and enjoy the Belmont today.
Thank you. You too.
All right, thank you. That was legendary Hall of Fame jockey Ron Turcotte joining us here on Off to the Races. We are up against our final break on the program. Derby Bill